You are older than the dinosaurs, older than the earth, older than the sun and all the planets. You are older than the stars. You are as old as the universe itself. Billions of years ago, the universe was a smaller than a speck of dust, but so heavy that no one, not even the strongest person on earth, could pick it up. And suddenly, bang, the tiny universe swelled up like the fastest growing bubble ever. It grew millions of times bigger in the blink of an eye.
This is the bang where the world began. Let's try saying that together again, because we're going to be saying it a lot. This is the bang when the world began.
As the universe grew, tiny bits called protons and neutrons and electrons formed and whizzed around like a bunch of bees.
These are the bits that were born in the bang when the world began.
The bits zigged this way and that way, and sometimes they bumped into each other, and then they stuck together and they formed something called atoms. Almost everything in the world is made of atoms. They are the building blocks of the universe. The first two atoms were the light gases, helium and hydrogen.
These are the blocks that were formed from the bits that were born in the bang when the world began.
Soon, the whole universe was a jumble of helium and hydrogen atoms, and over millions of years, gravity pulled those atoms together until they grew into clouds the size of galaxies, or even bigger.
This is the gas in a giant puff that spun from the blocks that formed from the bits that were born in the bang when the world began.
Inside each giant cloud, gravity pulled the atoms together and it got more and more crowded. When the atoms crashed into each other, they melted together, or they fused into a burst of light, and the cloud became a blazing star.
This is the star of red-hot stuff that burst from the gas in a giant puff that spun from the blocks that formed from the bits that were born in the bang when the world began.
Good, you're getting it. Say it along with Brian if you can remember. Even just that last part, that we're born in the bang when the world began. In the heart of the star, the atoms kept crowding and fusing together, and every time the atoms fused, they formed a bigger atom. Helium and hydrogen fused together to form medium-sized atoms, like carbon and oxygen.
These are the atoms, so strong and tough, that formed in the star of red-hot stuff, that burst from the gas in a giant puff, that spun from the blocks, that formed from the bits, that were born in the bang when the world began.
Good job. Each star shone brightly for billions of years, but stars don't live forever. And when a star died, it exploded into a giant fireball called a supernova. And when some of the star's atoms melt together into bigger atoms like copper, iron, and gold, the explosion sent those atoms, big and small, hurling through the universe in all directions.
This is the blast intense enough to hurl atoms so strong and tough that formed in the star of red-hot stuff that burst from the gas in a giant puff that spun from the blocks that formed from the bits that were born in the bang when the world began.
This is the sun. I don't want to take his line. The scattered atoms collected into new clouds of gas, which formed new stars, and each time a new star was born, it kept making atoms. Each time a star grew old and died, it exploded and flung those atoms into space.
This is the dust, so old and new, thrown from the blast intense enough that formed in the star of red-hot stuff that burst from the gas in a giant puff that spun from the blocks that formed from the bits that were born in the bang when the world began.
5 billion years ago, right where our solar system is today, a cloud of atoms formed. And the center grew hotter and hotter, and a star was born, and that star is our sun. The rest of the stuff in the spinning cloud began to stick together in dusty clumps, and each clump grew bigger until it turned into a planet.
This is the sun, our daily view, that was born from the dust, so old and new, thrown from the blast intense enough, that formed in the star of red-hot stuff, that burst from the gas in a giant puff, that spun from the blocks, that formed from the bits that were born in the bang when the world began.
The Earth, our planet, formed 4.5 billion years ago. There was oxygen, hydrogen, lead, gold, and more, and at first the young Earth was a boiling hot soup of all of those ingredients. But as the soup cooled, it separated into land and oceans, and in time, some of the atoms in the ocean joined together to form living creatures. They were so simple that they didn't think or see, they didn't even swim, they just floated. But then they got bigger and more complex over time. Life on Earth had begun.
This is our planet, green and blue, that circles the sun, our daily view, that was born from the dust, so old and new, thrown from the blast intense enough, that formed in the star of red-hot stuff, that burst from the gas in a giant puff, that spun from the blocks, that formed from the bits, that was born in the bang when the world began.
About 600,000 years ago, humans appeared. Oh, nope, not yet. Over billions of years. Trying to skip ahead to humans. Over billions of years, the first small life forms evolved into countless types of plants and animals. The living things depended on the atoms around them. Plants needed atoms in the water, the air, and the soil. Animals got oxygen from the air and other atoms like iron from their food. When a new animal was born, it was made from all of those same atoms. And when it died, the atoms were released back into the ground.
These are the plants and the animals, too, that grow on the planet, green and blue, that circles the sun, our daily view, that was born from the dust, so old and new, thrown from the blast intense enough, that formed in the star of red-hot stuff, that burst from the gas in a giant puff, that spun from the blocks, that formed from the bits that were born in the bang when the world began.
Now, about 600,000 years ago, humans appeared. And they absorbed the atoms whenever they breathed or ate or drank. And those humans had children. And their children had children. You are one of those children, descended from the first humans, all made from the same atoms that the Earth was made from. The iron in your blood may have once been part of a molten lava in a volcano. The carbon in your fingernails may have been part of an ancient tree leaf. And the oxygen in your lungs was probably breathed once by dinosaurs.
These are the people, just like you, who live with the plants and the animals too, that grow on the planet, green and blue, that circles the sun, our daily view, that was born from the dust, so old and new, thrown from the blast intense enough, that formed in the star of red-hot stuff, that burst from the gas in a giant puff, that spun from the blocks, that formed from the bits that were born in the bang when the world began.
But before any of these atoms helped create the Earth, they formed in stars long ago and far away. You are made from the atoms that were made in the stars, that were made from the tiny particles that were created when the universe began.
You are older than the Earth, older than the sun and all the planets, older than the stars. You are as old as the universe itself. Okay, so I have some audience participation for you, but it's way easier than what Christina had you do, okay? So I'm going to ask you to just do two things for me. Don't do them yet, just listen to the instructions, okay? I'm going to ask you to hold up your hands and clap them together once, pause for 1 second, and then clap again, okay? So two claps with a 1 second pause in between. Follow my lead? Okay, how far did your hands travel between the first and the second clap? Not at all, maybe an inch or two, a little more if you scratched your nose. If you could plot the distance between the first clap and the second clap, it would be more than 800 kilometers, or almost 5,000 miles. That's like driving from here to Minneapolis and back. This is because the Earth is moving around the Sun, and the Sun is moving around the center of the galaxy, and the galaxy is moving through the Virgo supercluster, and the Virgo supercluster is barreling through the universe. When you add up all of those velocities, it comes out to about 500 miles per second. Now, this past week, I was intentionally moving twice that fast. I flew from Appleton to Cincinnati, Ohio, via Chicago, for work. And when I was crammed into my airplane seat long before the sun came up, I thought about how connected we all are, even as we're living our own individual lives. See, when I travel, I usually count on at least one thing going wrong. My connecting flight will get canceled, my luggage will get misrouted, I'll sit next to someone that insists on taking off their shoes, and their foot odor will render me speechless. There will be delays, disruptions, and disappointments. All of these and worse have happened to me and probably to some of you. It's just an inevitable part of life, right? But this time, none of that happened to me. When I arrived at the airport in Appleton, all the lights were on. The machine that dispensed my parking permit worked flawlessly. There was ample parking. The airline employee showed up for work on time and helped me print my boarding pass. The pilot paid attention in flight school and safely guided us to our destination. The rental car was there waiting for us, full of gas. Our GPS connected wirelessly to a satellite up in space to tell us where to turn and how long it would take to get there. And it made me think about the tens of thousands of nameless and faceless people that, throughout the course of their day and throughout history, do things to make our lives better. I'll probably never meet the team of mechanics that inspected the airplane that got me from Appleton to Chicago without the wings falling off, or the architect in charge of designing our condo that gave us a safe place to stay. I just expected that all of this stuff would work without any guarantees that any of it would. This concept has a name. It's called pronoia, and it shifted my thinking. Pronoia is the belief that the world is conspiring for your benefit. It is the opposite of paranoia, that the world is out to get you. I tend to get caught up in all the things that happen in my world that make me mad, instead of realizing the wonder that anything ever goes right. It's kind of like when you don't have a head cold, you probably don't appreciate it until you actually do get one and wish you could go back to being well. All the thousands of things your body does on a regular basis to keep you healthy without you realizing. Of course, I know the next time I get inconvenienced, my instinct will be to fixate on whatever irritation has cropped up. But I'm going to try to look at it through a different lens, one of interconnection that we all have and how much we rely on each other without even knowing it. The interdependent web of connection is there, whether we realize it or not.